Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every birth, form and after. Jesus gave the key.
Somebody to help us lift up Jesus' name and praise. Let's take this moment to give thanks for all that God has done. Give thanks for all the healing that he's given us. Even give thanks for the things that have not been healed. Because Lord knows that whatever isn't healed is another lesson that we need to learn and go by. I was watching a program on television the other day. And the pastor was saying, the bishop was saying, that God creates the mountains, not so that we ignore them, but so that we can go through them, go over them, that we can deal with our struggles, that we can move on and understand that every moment that we're living on this world, above ground, let me say it that way, is a world, is a moment that we're breathing. Last time this year, friends, I was experienced being actually a vegetable. I could not move on my own. As a matter of fact, I was in the hospital, and they had put a tag on my arm that said, fall risk. And every time I got ready to get out of bed, that bed would start hollering. It would start, every time I moved, that bed would start hollering. And boy, if I got outside of that bed and nobody was there, they would come and chew me out and say, you know, if you fall, then we have to write all that paperwork. But we just can't live our lives in fear of what other people's reaction is going to be. We have to move forward. We've got to cling to our beliefs. We've got to cling to Jesus. We've got to cling to God. So know that God will provide. This year, one year later, I'm pleased to say that it's taken me at least a number of weeks to finally regain the ability to walk, that I was in such a shape that I just could not walk on my own. I had to have what the thing they call a walker, and that is how I move forward. Yes, Lord. At this moment, I hope that what you are dealing with, what your the prayer that you would like to have the pastor offer you, I hope that you're thinking about it, knowing that the pastor will send up a prayer on your behalf. At this moment, dear friends, we're actually waiting for the pastor to come online. So far, his line has not opened, so we'll play another one of the songs that we have here. And perhaps, let's see, I saw, is she on the line? No, not yet. She's not here yet. So let's play another song by John P. Key.
Yeah. Amen. I don't know what happened to the ending of that song, but I love that song. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I want to wish you all, my listeners, a good God bless you on this Wednesday evening. I want to give a special shout out to my South Carolina family. They have been with me traveling over the last 8 years, and I thank God for my sister Jackie and to all the people that she have advocated to tell them that Glory United Ministry is on the air. And I found out that a few times that my sister wasn't able to be on at the appointed time, but the people that she told about the service, they were not on because my sister told them. They heard about it through her, but they have taken the initiative. They said, we have the number, we know the day, and we know the time, and we're going on for ourselves. And that's just the way God wants us to be, just like the preacher and singer John P. Key is saying, it's not my mother, it's not my father, it's not my sister, nor my brother, but it's me, O Lord. I'm the one that's standing in the need of prayer. Count it not robbery. God is keeping a record of everything that we do, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But he loves us because he loves his creation. Even the snake, he said it was good. Oh, bless his name. God looked at the snake. He said, I created it, and it's good. Everything, he said, that I created is good. So take that and run with it. If you have a child that's disobedient and strung out on drugs and don't want to obey your rules that you have set up in your household, but even though you feel like it's no hope, but God looks at that child and says, everything that I created, I call it good. So don't kick them to the curb tonight. Don't let them run over you now. Don't be a doormat for them to step on. But remember, God loves you, and you have faults. God loves them with their faults. So let's just be mindful of who God is and how he created us. I thank God tonight for my sponsor, Bishop Dr. Gregory M. Scott, who has sponsored me on Blog Talk Radio for 8 years. We have been together as friends and colleagues in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful tonight. He had been in the hospital for 13 days. My God. And God met him in the hospital. God is not going to heal all of us just by the winking of his eyes. Some of us have to go by way of the hospital. Some of us have to suffer. Some of us have to know what pain feels like. Look at the woman who suffered with the issue of blood for 12 long years, but she couldn't quit. She couldn't stop seeking God for her healing. Had she to stop, she'd have never got healed. But when she got to the end of her road, where she said, she had a Popeye. Y'all know Popeye, the sailor man. She had a Popeye determination. Popeye said after Brutus kept punching him like he was a punching bag. Popeye'd go down and he'd come back up. He'd go down and Popeye was my favorite character. Come back up, and when Popeye couldn't stand another lick from old Bluto, Popeye would say, I can't stand no more. And that's when Popeye reached and got his can of spirit and the old pipe that he had, I never saw any smoke come out of the pipe, but that pipe was his can opener. Oh, bless his name, because it opened that can for for him to get what he needed in order to take Brutus out or to stop him from beating him up. Well, let me tell you something. God is your spiritual spinach on tonight. And guess what? No, you don't have a corn cob pipe in your mouth, but you got the word of God in your mouth, and all you got to do is cry out tonight and say, God, it's me standing. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel Jesus. It's me, Lord. I'm standing. You haven't gotten desperate enough yet. Only the desperate can change the mind of God. Hear me. Only the desperate can change the mind of God. The woman with the issue of blood was desperate. She suffered 12 long years with this issue. But she decided, I've got to touch Jesus. Maybe I won't be able to touch his flesh because the disciples and the multitude surround him. And I'm just a wimp. I'm just a worm. You know the song said, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I am? It was at the cross, where I first, hallelujah, saw the light and the burdens of my heart, they did roll away. It was there by faith that I received my sight, and now I am happy. But I'm sure the woman who had no name that I can remember at this point, but the woman with the issue, but I'm sure she said, for such a worm as I'm just a nobody. But oh, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. We are all somebody in the eyes of our Maker. Oh, bless his name. So she pressed away. She went past the disciples. She went past the crowd. That's what you have to do sometime in order to get what you need from Jesus. You can't worry about what folk gonna say. You can't worry about what they think about you. I came up as a child in the Church of God in Christ. They were called holy rollers because the Spirit of God would sway them out, and they would roll sometime from one side to the next. I watched this with my eyes as a child, and they would roll this way, and they would roll that were just blessing God in the role that God was doing something for them that they needed done that only he could do. And they were not ashamed to roll in the Spirit because they were getting what they needed from the Lord. My grandmother saying, I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. Sometimes you can't be cute trying to get what you need. Yeah, the snot will come out of your nose. The makeup, if you got on it, it will turn colors, and your wig will come off your head. But who cares about that when you find that there is no cure for what ails you? And the only one that can fix it is Dr. Jesus. You don't care what you look like. You don't care about that wig on the floor. You don't care nothing about your job. Preach one Sunday so hard, that's the God honest truth. I preach so hard they got it on tape, a videotape. I preach so hard until my skirt fell off. But you know what? I kept right on preaching. I stepped out of the skirt and kept right on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Was I ashamed? No. Because I wasn't naked. I had on a slip. I had on panties. And a pantyhose, what did you see? Nothing but a woman of God giving God all the praise and all the glory. That's what you have to do sometimes. You have to lose your mind to get what you want. The woman who had the issue of blood lost her mind. And yet she was sane as can be. But she said, if I can't touch Jesus, move out of my way. I'm going to get to him one way or the other. I'm tired of being sick and tired of being like this. So I don't care who laughs at me. I don't care if they call me a fool. But but they can't help me. Don't note this. Write this down. The ones who's talking about you are the very ones that can't fix your situation. If you're going to talk about me, at least be able to help me. So if you can't help me, shut your mouth. My mother's words, she never liked to tell us to shut up. She didn't like that word. She would say, hush, or be quiet. She never liked to say, shut up. No, she would say, hush, y'all be quiet. She never used that word, shut up. And if she did muster up to tell you shut up, that's because hush and be quiet didn't seem to fall on your ears. So now she is going to get your attention by saying shut up. And she would take the back of her right hand and hit it in the palm of her left hand. And when she did that and said shut up, you better move, but you better shut up. You could stand where you were standing if you shut up, if you became quiet, if you hushed. But if you opened your mouth one more time, and my mother was not a disciplined Mary, she did not hit her children. She did not believe in hitting her children. She believed in talking to me. On the other hand, I brush it up. I took after my father. But my mother didn't strike us. When mom hit you, you really deserve to be hit. That don't sound too good, does it? But listen, it doesn't matter what people say about you. Oh, they're going up there to that old sanctified church. Well, them people rolling on the floor and foaming at the mouth. Huh, I ain't going up there. But let me tell you, the old sanctified people rolling on the floor, foaming at the mouth. We weren't foaming. We weren't having a seizure. We're not animals. God was purging us of our sins. He was cleansing our hearts and our mind so that we could receive all that he was trying to get to us. But when the people in my neighborhood, my sister's a witness, when the people in the area from whence I came, when they got a bad report from the doctor that they had cirrhosis of the liver, or they had cancer, or they had some kind of disease that would take you out of here, where did you find them at? They would sneak up to the old sanctified church with the holy rollers because they knew that those people could get a prayer through. They knew that those people had a relationship with God so that if they asked God to do something, God did it for them immediately. One lady came to her, the doctor said, we can do nothing for your child. We don't know what to do. The boy had a hole in his lung the size of a dime. Can you imagine that back then? Now they may be able to fix it, but not then. So she took her son. She came up to the Holy Rollers Church. She came up to the tongue-talking church. She came up to the church that went to church at 9 o'clock and didn't get out till 4 o'clock because God was meeting them there. He was meeting their needs and things were being done. An hour for what? God just getting started. Oh, he can work in an hour, but the reason why sometimes he doesn't work in an hour is because you got too much mess and junk in you that you got to move out of the way for you to feel him because he's already able to do the work. But you got to get self out of the way so that you can feel God's hand upon your life. And the woman's husband said, I'll spend every dime I got saved just so that my son can live. Where is the specialist at? I said, there is no specialist for what your son has. But there was a specialist called Jesus. And so they brought, the woman came to the Holy Rollers Church. Her church didn't believe in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, unknown tongues, as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Now, there is two tongues. There is an unknown tongue. That is the tongue that's speaking directly to God. And then there is a tongue that can be interpreted. there's scripture that says, let them keep silent unless there's an interpreter present. And some of them grabbed that and ran with it. They ought not be speaking in tongues. Well, they're not doing it on their own. They're speaking unto God. They're glorifying God. They're blessing the name of Jesus. God gave them tongues and set upon them by calling fire in the upper room. He's still the same Jesus that walked in Galilee. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will speak in an unknown tongue. Oh, bless his name. You can't go to school to learn this. I know they got schools for tongues, but not the one I got from the upper room. Oh, bless his name. But anyhow, I don't know why God is sending me this way. It's got to be for someone on the line. They need this word. They need that push to touch Jesus on tonight. Reach out and touch him. You can touch him. Oh, he's there. He's able to carry you through. And if he don't answer your prayer in the manner in which you want it answered, he's there to give you the strength that you need to endure whatever his decision is and not yours. Oh, bless his name. You won't be bitter. You may not understand it. But you understand it. I am my son. You understand it. I preach the gospel. And there were some things I asked God for, and he didn't do it. And I said, God, why? I asked you. You told me I could. Oh, but down the road, I blessed him for saying no. Someone said, Jesus will never say no. Yes, he will. Because he wants the very best for you. And what you want for yourself may not be the very best thing for you at that particular time. So he will say no. Because at the end of what you're asking for is destruction. But at the end of what he's giving you is life without a consequence. For the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. And I don't mean in dollars and cents. It means make it rich, and it adds no sorrow. There's no suffering when he makes the decision. When you make the decision, you made the wrong decision. It went against the grain. It went against. Have you ever tried to slice meat against the grain? It's rough, and it's tough, and it's hard to chew. But when you slice that meat with the grain, it's smooth surface and easy to digest, easy to swallow, easy to chew. That's been some of our problems. We have been going against the grain and then wondered, God, how did I end up here? Because you didn't wait for me. You thought you could do it your way. And then you shipwrecked. And guess what? You still had to come back to me and let me straighten it out for you. If you weren't too proud to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's all it takes. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And he'll fix it. But in the meantime, getting back to the little boy with the hole in his lung, that mother said, there's nothing the doctor can do. And my son will die. And so somebody introduced her to the sanctified folks, to the holy rollers, tongue talking, hand clapping, foot stopping, people of God. Yeah, they wore long dresses, thick stockings, and all of that. It didn't take all of that, but hey, they wanted to make sure they were pleasing to God. So that's what they chose. But God loved them with a short skirt on. God loved them with a pair of slacks on, women. God loved them just like that. Ah, but let me tell you what happened. She went up to the old sanctified church. Her husband wouldn't go, but he was willing to spend all his money at the doctor's office. But he said, hon, he said, dear, I'm not going up there. He said, because I ain't none of them kind of people. And she said, you don't believe in it? Well, I believe in God, he told his wife. He said, I believe in God, but I don't think you have to do all of that. So she said, well, then you stay home. But I'm taking my boy, and I'm going They told me that the man of God can help me. And I'm going to the man of God. And so she gathered up her son. And she went up to the old sanctified church, where they stayed in church a long time. My sister could tell you, we was in church till 4 o'clock. The Baptist people had had church, came home and ate, and was on their way back for BTU or an usher's anniversary, and we were still in our main service. But, oh, my God, the results that came out of it, oh, bless his name. Saints didn't go to the doctor back then. They either got healed by God or they just went on home to be with the Lord. Wasn't no in-between. Wasn't no whole lot of Lord have mercy. You look on the dresser and all you can see is a pill for this and a pill for that. And a pill. It wasn't like that when I was a child. My mother had her bottle of Blessed All. Mama, my throat hurt. Mama, I got a fever. She would give me an aspirin. And some blessed, and some blessed all that the man of God had put his sanctified hands on. And my mother would oil me down, hallelujah, Jesus, with the oil. And she would pray, and the fever would break with the prayer and the aspirin. God, I love you. She couldn't take us to the doctor. She had no money, but she would take us in her arm. Put that all on us, and she would pray and say, Lord, heal my child. Touch her body. Touch his body. God, I'm depending on you. I walk up right before you. God, I'm looking to you. And he do it. I was praying against her, but it didn't work. Because God was saying, no, God, let me be sick tomorrow, and I won't have to go to school. I don't want mama praying for me to have to go to school tomorrow. I didn't like school. But she prayed, and she said, oh, yeah, you going out of here today, miss. That fever is broken. Lord, what can I do to get the fever back? Oh, bless his name. But that's just how I was. But anyway, getting back to the story. The woman made it up to the sanctified church. And she sat down with her boy. And somebody said, do you want to take him up there for the pastor to pray for him? She said, yes, I want prayer for my son. So they took the little boy up there. And the pastor said, come, mother, with your son. And she was saying, Lord, have mercy. Now, she didn't really want to change and become a holy roller. So she just wanted to pray for the boy and she could grab her son and go home. But it didn't happen like that. And the pastor took the child in his arm. He was a walking child. He wasn't 2 years old. I think it was maybe about 5 or 6, 7 years old, somewhere around there. And the pastor took and laid hands on the child, put all on him, and rebuked the devil. And said, what's wrong with him? She said, the doctor said that he's got a hole in his lung the size of a dime. Well, a dime is not that big, but it is to your lung because it can stop your breathing capacity. And the pastor said, what did you say is wrong with your son? She said, the doctor said he got a hole in his lung. And there's nothing you can do for it. And he said, the doctor told you right. Said, but Dr. Jesus has healed him tonight. Said, take your boy back to the doctor. Let him x-ray the boy. She took her son back to the doctor. And said, wait a minute, something is wrong here. And she said, what's wrong? Said, there's no hole in his lung. What in the world happened? I need to get another x-ray. Miss Una, she said, go ahead. They did another x-ray. It showed the same thing. No hole in the child's lung. And they said, well, see, something is wrong because we know that, and we've got records to prove. She said, I took my boy up to the preacher up on the, over here on the Avenue, and he prayed for my child and said God had healed my child. And they said, well, that's what you say, but, you know, the doctor didn't believe in Jesus like that. They said, well, we'll keep an eye on it. She said, you might, but I won't. I believe. And she became saved and a true worshiper and a believer. Oh, let me tell you, this was back before I was born. So this was many, many years ago. I'm just a kid. But this was many, many years ago, before I was born. And he grew up to be a young man, and his children, three of his children, is older than me. One of them's older than my sister. That's how long ago it was. But let me tell you what happened. This man is now 93 years old. He lives in Florida, Tampa, Florida. And this was in New York when this took place. That's what God did. He healed. It's me, oh Lord. That's what some of you need to cry out tonight. It's me, oh Lord. I've had enough of the doctor's medicine. It's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need. It's all right to get the doctor's medicine, but don't let it just pacify you. Let God heal you. Ah, somebody told me that God was going to take me back to when I was the age of 13. And I'm saying, wow, that means I would have the strength and the energy that I had when I was 13. I didn't get tired quick. And the only thing I said to that was, I hate to think of having another period. Lord have mercy. I don't want to go back and start no period all over again. And they laughed. And then I said, well, if I go back to 13, then I'm going to lose my Social Security check. Because that means I got to find me a little teenage job. Oh, bless his name. I like to have a little humor with the word of God. But I welcome the energy and the strength. Ah, I feel Jesus tonight on this line. I don't know again who this message is for or how many. Let me say it like that. It's for, because those of you that's on the line is hearing it live. But there will be others that will go into the archive, meaning when we go off the air, 15 minutes after we go off the air, it goes into storage. In other words, if you don't know what the archive is, it goes there into the archive. And anyone that go on the computer and put in glory-u.org, I believe it is, can pull it up online and listen to it. And it'll bless them just like it's blessing you on tonight. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. Trust him. Get what you need from God. Yes, go to the doctor. Luke was a great physician. He was one of Jesus' disciples. Jesus, or God, is not against the doctor. But when the doctor can't fix it for you, let Dr. Jesus, let Jesus fix it for you, for he knows just what to do. So whenever you pray, let him have his way. Oh, let Jesus fix it for you. Come on, sing the song. Let Jesus fix it for you, for he knows just what to do. So whenever you pray, just let him have his way. Oh, let Jesus fix it for you. I tell you, I feel good on this evening. I feel good down in my sanctified. So I don't know the last time that I rolled on the floor in Jesus' name. But I'm not ashamed of how the way God want to take me out. I believe it was sometime last year when I went up on the floor in the spirit, and I don't go down easy. But when I came to myself, I was laying in the floor face down, giving God the praise, giving him the glory. And I believe it was like sometime in August when that took place. And the pastor said to me when I got up, I was too drunk to get up. They tried to lift me up off the floor and put me in the chair, and I was just limp. You know how it is, trying to pick up somebody drunk. I was just drunk in the spirit. And the pastor said, leave her. She's not ready yet. God's not through. So then I made an attempt to try to get up again, and I still could not get up. And so I just went back out in the spirit, just telling the Lord, thank you. Ah, God, you talk about he give us his daily bread. That was my daily bread. It was what I needed. And when God had given me the strength that I need, I was able to get up with about 4 or 5 men helping to get me up, along with 2 ushers and a missionary standing there so no one could say the men was fondling me, which they were not. They were only getting their sister up off the floor. And when I sat up in the chair, the pastor said, Pastor Benjamin. I said, yes, Pastor. She said, God has given you the strength that you need for what's about to take place. A little better than a month, the Lord called my mother home. And that took strength to get through it. And yet I'm going through it. And then 8 months later, the Lord took my husband home. And we're about to have on Saturday his memorial service. He died May 14th. And with the virus, they weren't letting you bury your people. So I said, I'll wait. And now we can. But even though he requests to be cremated, but I'm doing his memorial on Saturday the 11th. 1 month before my sister's husband died last year in August. Now the 2 sisters are widows. But we still have Jesus. I can sing tonight. I don't know about my sister, but I can say tonight I still have my joy. That's all that I've been through. I still have my joy. Praying every day for Dr. Scott that God will raise him up and give him the strength that he needs to make this trip, to make the journey in the gospel, to keep Blog Talk on the air. I still have my joy after all that I've been through. I still have my joy. Hallelujah. I thank God. Yeah, tell it, catch it. God said, I'm moving. Yes, I am. He said, I'm moving on your behalf. I don't know who that's for. He's not giving me a name. Nor is he showing me a face. Sometime he will. So I'm saying for all of you that's on the prayer call tonight on Blog Talk Radio, God said, I'm moving. I think he said that about a month ago. And I'm fixing it. I'm working it out for you. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Somebody wrote a song, so when you start passing out blessings, Lord, have a blessing just for me. John P. King just told you that it's me, oh Lord. I am standing in the need of prayer. Thank you, sweet Jesus. I still have my joy. I still have my joy. After all that I've been through, I still have my joy. I still have my joy. I still have my joy. After all that I've been through, I still have my joy. That's not how it is on the song, but I sing it the way I'm feeling it tonight. I still have my joy. I still have my joy. After all that I've been through, I still have my joy. I still have my joy. Come on, Zion. I still have my joy. After all that I've been through, I still have my joy. Thank you, Jesus. Can the church say yes? Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, oh yes, 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 Lord, yes, Lord, hallelujah, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But the woman with the issue of blood touched his garment. She touched his garment. And the Bible that I read and the same one that you read should tell you the same story. She was made whole. She wasn't just healed. It's a difference between being healed and made whole. Jesus told him several times, you're made whole. In other words, it's like you've never been sick. Everything that was destroyed during your sickness, whether you had bone loss, whether you had ovaries, whether you had eye problems and the retinas behind there got weak or whatever, or whether you have a little problem with the brain issue there. But when Jesus says you're made whole, everything that was tampered with by the devil in your body has been restored. I'm going to end in a few minutes. One man sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind. The light he could not see. So he clutched to his rags and he shivered in his shadow. Then Jesus came and that man's darkness flee. When Jesus comes, all Satan's powers are broken. When Jesus comes, he'll wipe the gloom away. He'll take the gloom and fill your life with glory. For all have changed when Jesus comes to stay. When he healed blind Bartimaeus of his blindness, he restored his sight and he made him whole. He said, woman, thou art made whole. Everything, your low blood count, the electrolytes, all of that that the enemy stole from you, I have put it all back. I didn't just heal you, stop the blood. I healed you and I restored you. I made you whole. It was as if it never happened. And we need an overhaul just like that on tonight. The little boy who had the hole in his lung, the size of a dime, God restored everything with the canker worm and the pommel worm stole from him. God is willing to restore and make you whole on tonight. Ah, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, not my mother. I love Jesus on tonight. You know what I always do? Before I close out, I always like to give you a scripture, a red scripture from the Bible. Let's see what Bible I have tonight. All of my Bibles read different, but they mean the same. Oh, I had this one, I think, last week. My Child Stanley Life Principle Bible. And if you will journey with me down to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrews is found in the New Testament. I looked at that 4th verse. It says, therefore let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed entered that rest, just as he has said, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Although his works were finished from foundation of the world, for he had said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his work. And begin in this passage, "They shall not enter my rest." Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them fail to enter because of disobedience. Ooh, that's heavy. When we disobey God's word, when we disobey God's word, it can prevent us from entering to God's rest. Not the preacher or the teacher, not Donald Trump. Mm-mm. When we disobey God's word, there's no rest. The old folks say no rest for the weary, because we've been disobedient. He again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. Now, that was verse 1 through 8 of the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Write it down and read it for yourself. It's not a lot to read. I have a friend who reads books all day long, and this is just a small Hebrew 4, chapter 1 through 16, but I'm going to skip over the other ones. I want you to read it. But number 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize." The King James said, "who cannot be touched." But this is Charles Stanley. "Cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." We can be tempted, but we don't have to sin. Oh, bless his name. "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I am closing the book. Oh, bless his name. Hang out with verse 15 and 16. You'll be saying, "Lord, it's me. I don't have the mote in my eye for my brother or my sister. It's me standing in the need of prayer." It's not about them. It's a time for me to pray for my sister. It's a time for me to pray for my brother, as I do. It was a time that I prayed for my mother, and even a time I prayed for my father. But it is not the time to pray for any of them now. It is time for me to be concerned with me. It is me, oh Lord. I am standing in the need of prayer. I am interested in touching Jesus so that I can get what I need that no one else can supply. Just one touch. That's all it takes. It's just one touch from the Master. Or you touch him. He touched me a long time ago, and now I'm made whole. He touched me, and nothing has been the same. Do I suffer? Yes, I do. I'm human. I'm in the flesh. But I got a peace. I still have my joy. After all that I've been through, I hear you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. After all that I've been through, yes, Lord. Yes, God. I feel you, Jesus. I said I wouldn't be on long. I told Dr. Scott, I said, Dr. Scott, I'm not going to be on long. I got a lot to do. And he said, you'll stay on however long God takes. He said, let God use you. And I said, you know, jokingly, and I kid around a lot. People that know me know I like to laugh and have fun. And I said, you don't tell me how long God's going to tell me to stay on there. But I see I've used up my hour singing and telling of his goodness. It's okay to read the story about the woman with the issue of blood. But what is God doing for you? It's okay to know about the boy with the hole in his lung. But what is God doing for you? It's okay to know my story where the doctor told me I was legally blind and I shouldn't be driving and I couldn't see. But Jesus touched me while I was sleeping. I guess what? I was full of sin. I was shacking up. That's how much he loves his creation. Now, I'm not telling you to go shacking up and that it'll be all right, because if your soul is lost, if he come for you and you're not right, then you could end up in a place not called heaven. But I was shacking up. But I cried out to the Lord when the doctor told me. I had had the dream. The Lord came and he touched me on my shoulder. But that night that he touched me, I stayed home in my mother's house. I didn't stay with my boyfriend that night. The Spirit of the Lord told me go home and see. I could still hear God's voice even though I was in a backslidden state, because I talked to the Lord constantly. While they were putting me down, my heart was saying, Lord, help me. I want to do better than this. I can do better than this. God, I need you to help me. I don't want my soul to be lost. I don't want to die in my sin. Lord, help me. Smoking my cigarette, but saying, Lord, help me. I want to come out of this. I want to live right. I want to live saved. I want to be made whole. And that the Lord spoke to me and said, don't stay here tonight. Go to your mama's house. And so I pushed my mom's door. She said, well, look what the wind just blew in. I said, Mama, I'm staying here tonight. She said, your room is still in there. I said, thank you. And I went and I got in my bed. And I went to sleep, and about 3 o'clock or so, anytime after 2 a.m., I felt this finger pushing me on my right shoulder, because I was laying on my left side. And I felt these fingers like someone when they want to wake you up. And so I thought it was my mother. So I turned over, and I looked and saw that it was Jesus. I saw his fingers. And I looked, I couldn't tell you I saw his face, but I knew the figure, it was Jesus. And the robe that you see him in these pictures, or you see him out with the sheep and whatever. And so that's just a symbol. And he had, and I said, I was afraid that I had died in my sins. And he said, don't be afraid. And I wanted to holler, Mama! But I couldn't talk. I was just like, oh, what is Jesus going to do with me? And he said, you're going to go to the doctor, to the eye doctor. And I was having serious issues with my eyes. He said, the doctor's going to give you some drops for your eyes, and I'm going to work through the drops. And I said, oh, Lord. So sure enough, that was that Saturday morning early. And when I left, I went over to my boyfriend's house. And my mother sent for me. She sent Jimmy for me. She said, go tell Patty, come here. So I went, I said, Mama, what's the matter? She said, you got a call from the doctor's office. I said, huh? She said, yeah, the doctor wants to meet you Monday. And he want to take a look at your eyes. I said, I don't know that doctor. She said, well, that's the call that came through. It's up to you. You can do what you want. I said, okay, Mama, thank you. So I went to the doctor, and he said, I can't examine you here at the hospital. I need you to come to my office. So I drove 22 miles to his office. And he said, Miss Benjamin, who's with you? I said, I'm by myself, Doc. He said, how did you get here? I said, well, I drove my car. He said, you're not supposed to be on the road. You're legally blind. You cannot see. You couldn't even pass the test. I said, well, I made it. And he said, oh, no. And he said, well, I'm going to have to give you some drops. Maybe there. I said, oh, Jesus told me that I was going to the eye doctor and that he was going to give me some drops. And that the drops, he was going to work through the drops. And the doctor looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, oh, thank you, Dr. Pizzarella. And he told me how to take the drops. And I started taking the drops when I got home. But that Sunday, when I went to church, I went to Elder Stewart. And I said, Elder Stewart, the doctor gave me some eye drops. Will you bless these drops, please? I had already started taking them. That was that Tuesday. I didn't see Elder Stewart till that Sunday. And he took the drops from my hand and put them in his. And I remember so the words that he said. He said, God, do what you say you were going to do through these drops. That's all he said. He didn't know what the doctor had said to me. See, this is what I'm saying. When your life line up with God, you'll hear him talking. You'll know. And he said, God, do what you said you was going to do through these drops. And when I went back to Pizzarella in 3 weeks, I still drove my car. And I got there, and he looked into my eyes because he said that these drops usually don't help, but we have to start here for insurance purposes, and then we can go a little more graphic or whatever. And so when he pulled up his little chair and looked into my eyes, he scooted his chair back. I said, what's the matter, Dr. Pizzarella? He said, I don't believe it. I said, what? He said, there's nothing wrong with your eyes. The pressure is completely gone. He said, those drops don't usually work like that for people. I said, do you remember when I told you what God said? I said, you laughed at me. And you know what he said to me? Well, in your case, it worked. That's what the eye doctor had to admit. Even when we're wrong, Jesus still loves us. When we beat ourselves up for what we do wrong, it's because the devil wants us to keep on going left and left and left. He wants us to go so far away from God until we can't see how to get back, or we won't feel like going back because we'll figure that God don't love us. But I want you to know tonight, I don't care how far away you may be on tonight, Jesus loves you. Turn and come home to the one who wants to bless you with life and more abundantly. Oh, I tell you, I went over my time, Dr. Scott, but you said let the Lord use you. I had nothing to do with it. For some reason, God wanted these testimonies to get out here tonight to encourage someone. I was sinning big time, shacking up. But because I cried out, Lord, I don't want to end up like this the rest of my life. I don't want to die. I don't want to go to hell. I need to turn and come home to you. And he fixed it. He sent me a husband. That was 33 years ago. I didn't have to shack anymore. And now my husband is dead. But it's all good. I had 33 good years. Matter of fact, 35, because I did shack with him 2 years before I married him. I'm telling you, the devil just had his hand on me because he knew how God was going to use me. And I'm glad for the testimony because I can tell you, you, and you, though your sins be as a scarlet, he will wash them whiter than snow. And he won't throw them into the sea of forgetfulness, but he will separate your sins from you. That's what it says in the Bible that I read. I believe that he will separate your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. It didn't say anything about no sea of forgetfulness. I don't know where they got that from. That's not scripture. as far as the east is from the west. Now that's far, but the east know where the east is and the west know where the west is. God's not stupid. He remembers what you did, but he don't hold you in prison for it. Once he says you're forgiven for that, then rise up above it. Don't let guilt keep you down. Start walking in the newness. Walk in the liberty where Christ has made thee free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Ah, it's me, O Lord. I am standing. My God, today I'm trying to quit, but for some reason God wants somebody to hear this. I'm standing. Oh, in the need. Thank you, sweet Jesus. A prayer. Never mind about your son, Johnny. Never mind about Susie Q. Stop praying about them and start praying about you. And when God straighten you out, then you'll see the whole house fall in shape. When God straighten you out, because you have repented, watch and see that God don't straighten out the whole house. Trust him. It's me, oh Lord, not my Aunt Bessie. That's what he said. Not my brother Al, or either he said my friend or my pal, but it's me, oh Lord. I am standing, Ayalabashi, in the need of prayer. Thank God for bringing Dr. Scott safely home out of the hospital. Ah, bless his holy name. Oh, how I love Jesus. Come on, sing with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. I can't hear you, but God can. Sing, Jackie. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the saints of God say amen, amen, and amen. Dr. Scott, the Lord is finished, and so am I. Bless his name.
Hi.
Well, thank you for being on the call. A special thanks goes out to Sister Jackie for rounding up all the people, South Carolina. Thank you, Miss Jackie.
A young lady, tears rolling down her face. She said to me, we need to rush to the hospital. There's a choir member whose baby is lying at the point of death. We rush to Memorial Hospital. That's the mother and a father. I want you to know, while they were waiting, I begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we need you. How many know when the doctor said no? Jesus can still say yes. The doctor told the mother, call the family in. He was preparing.